Well, I guess you're stuck with doing it again sometime. That's good. That's good. Appreciate that, folks. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4, if you will. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse number 23. Just a couple verses. Mark chapter 4, verse number 23. I'm going to read just three verses here, and then we'll kind of give a little background here in a moment. Kind of some unusual verses that people kind of have trouble with, but I think this will be a blessing to you. Mark chapter 4, verse number 23, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet. It shall be meted to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Now, there's a lot of things here. People try to take these little phrases and they pull them out. Jesus is not schizophrenic. He's not scatterbrained. He says these things, and listen, he in fact, I was going to say, he does them in parables, so those who have ears to hear will hear. And so He's telling us some things here. So let me go back and say that again. Verse 23. "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath ears to hear," you can put in there, that's what it's implying. "For he that hath, to him shall be given. And to he that hath not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Let's pray. I'll give you some background here in a moment on making the most out of God's word. Making the most out of God's word. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are in it. And Lord, we thank you for the amazing things and the things that it teaches and the principles and how to live life. And so often, though, Lord, we read it and we don't really get much out of it because we're not letting it say what it says. We're not willing to trust that it's all true. We're trying to figure it out. Somebody's told us that there's falsehoods and discrepancies and discrepancies and things like that in the Word. And Lord, if we just let it have ears to hear, remember that you're God. You can certainly take care of all these things. You can preserve our word. You wrote in the first place. With your word, you created all the heavens and the earth. And so if you can create the word, you certainly can preserve the word. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to get the most out of the word of God, not just kind of breeze through it and wonder wander through life trying to wonder what truth is. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. You've given it to us. So now, Lord, though, we can't understand the word without your Holy Spirit. The Spirit guiding us into all truth. So, Lord, we ask you to give us your truth. Teach us here this evening. And I want to be a blessing. They came back to get something from you. And, Lord, I want to give you something. So, Lord, you work through me. We give you this evening. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. If you go back to the first part of chapter 4, it talks about he began to teach by the seaside, and there were gathering to him a great multitude, and he entered into a ship and sat there in the sea, and a whole multitude was by the sea and the land, and he taught them many things in parables. And his son unto them and said unto them in his doctrine, his teaching, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." We've heard of that parable many times. Here's a question. Why am I not growing in the knowledge of the Lord like I'd like to? Well, the reason is the seed is the word of God. 4:14 it says, "The sower soweth the word." The word of God is the seed that is sown in this parable. We are the soil. And really, you know, it talks about, we call it the parable of the sower, and that's fine. But really what it's teaching is the soils. And a lot of people have actually come to the point where they start calling this the parable of the soils. The soil is not only the unsaved, but the heart of anyone that is hearing the seed of God's word. Okay? The principle here is the word of God is, the seed is the word of God. That's good. And of course, we talk about folks who are getting saved. But the fact is, the seed is the word of God. Our hearts can be hardened even though we're saved. And so this applies to us as much as it applies to folks who are not saved. So the soul is not the only unsaved, but the heart of anyone that is hearing the word, the seed of God's word. God's word brings life. It springs up of itself. But only if the soil of the one's heart receives the seed and allows the seed to settle in and germinate and take root in our hearts and then watered by the word of God. If we just let the seed come in and hit the hard heart, we don't do anything with it, it's going to be lost. So Jesus gives us the parable of the soils, and then he summarizes the parable with verse number 9. He says, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, what do you mean he summarizes? Watch it real quick. Look at verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. The sower is the Lord, and what he's sowing, the seed, is the word of God. And it came to pass, verse 4, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Not going to spend a lot of time with it, but just as a reminder, the wayside is the edge of the road. The edge of the road. Now, there was dirt roads. They weren't paved. But there was dirt roads. There where the wagon wheel kind of ran in. It was sitting along the edge of the road. It was hard. It had been beaten and calloused by the world, just landing on it and rolling over it day after day after day. And our hearts can become calloused. The old world just beats on us, and we get hard, and we get hard. And the fact is, it's old Satan who leads things to come at us to harden our hearts. And then he comes along, he says, and the birds come by and eat it. That's old Satan too. He comes along and our hard heart keeps the seed from going into our hearts. And then he comes along and kind of scarfs it up before it has a chance to really dig down, or rain comes along or something and gets down. It might happen to germinate. Can't let that happen. And so the old hard heart. Verse number 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Oh, it came up fast. They sowed the grass between our two buildings here. And there's a sidewalk on the back side of the new building. I was walking from that side to this side, and the fact is, some seed had gone into the crack of the sidewalk. And there was all these little green hairs coming up on the brand new sidewalk between the two buildings. Now, as soon as it gets hot and it's just going to burn up, it's not going to be able to do it. But, they sprung up with everything else. What in the world are they chewing on? You know, what's it feeding on? What in the world? But there it was. But you see, when the sun comes up, It's going to disappear. And the same thing here. We say, well, we come in here and we sit in the air conditioned on the and on the soft pew, and the preacher preaches, and the word of God all makes so much sense. And then we walk outside, and all that made sense starts to fade. And we think, well, I don't know if that really going to, is that going to work? No one else is out here doing this. And little stony stuff in our heart and the problems and this and that. Number 6. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. That's when we hear the word of God, but we're really too busy to do anything about it. Hey, we got a boat down at the shore. Nothing wrong with the boat down the shore, unless it keeps you down the shore when you should be in God's house. Do it on Saturday. Do it some other time. You know what? Today, Sunday's the only day I have to sleep. I just work all week, and just can't make it. You know what I found? You do what God says first, he somehow works out the rest of it. Now, you might have to do it for a little while. I'll see if to show you whether you mean business. You back out of it, then you didn't mean business. You were just trying to get out. You were just trying to get sleep. You start seeking him, he'll find a way for you to have time with him. But you got to say, make a decision. I want time with him. Verse 8, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up, increased, and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I understand that he wants them to hear that parable, but I think that he's summarizing. Is your heart hard? Or is your heart stony? Or is your heart full of thorns? Or is there good ground? If there's good ground, let it sink in. If you've got ears to hear. You see, folks who've got a hard heart don't have ears to hear. Folks who have whose heart's full of stones and things from the, and you know, it's just like, it's too full. We're not going to let the Word of God come in. It's like, well, I know that's what it says, but you know, he doesn't know what I've gone through. You don't know where I grew up. You don't know what I've had to live with. You don't want to live with right now. There's stones in my life. And all of a sudden, we don't have ears to hear. We have thorns that come along and choke us out. We're so busy fighting the thorns instead of trying to give ourselves the Lord, we don't have ears to hear. If his heart has turned on his ears to hear and understand what is being said, then the Lord is saying he is allowed to hear. If his heart is not turned on to hear, he is not allowing himself to hear. Jesus goes on explaining that if you don't understand what you need to have, if you don't understand that you need to have ears to hear before you're going to be allowed to hear, then how do you expect to ever understand anything he says in the parables? Look what it says in verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then shall ye know all parables? He said, if you don't understand this parable, then you're never going to understand any of the parables. See, this parable is saying, do you have ears to hear? And if you don't decide to have ears to hear, you're never going to understand the rest of this other stuff because you've got to have ears to hear to understand it. So he says, boys, he said, listen, you've got to have ears to hear if you expect to ever hear anything else. You could say it this way. Some say, well, you walk in the light he's given you. But if you don't walk in the light that he's given you, don't expect him to give you more light. If you're still trying to debate whether you're going to believe and live by the things he has shown you, by the way, that's what he knows you need right now. Don't expect him to explain something that you're wondering about way down the road. He says, you're not ready for this. He says, if you don't have ears to hear for what you know, what you need right now, don't expect to hear anything down the road. You're not going to get there. You're going to decide God is God. God has truth. The Word of God is our truth. And we got to have ears to hear what the Lord says. Jesus further explains that the seed is the Word of God and the soils are the various states in which the hearts of the people can be. Now, if the seed is the Word of God, the seed is not just the gospel of salvation, but the Word of God. Therefore, his parable can apply to those who need to be saved but do not have ears to hear, and also those who had ears to hear the plan of salvation, but do not have ears to hear the rest of the counsel of God. In fact, there's a lot of folks who don't have ears to hear the rest of the counsel of God can come to the point where they've forgotten they were purged from their old sins. Because if they don't have ears to hear, they cannot add to their faith virtue to virtue, knowledge, patience, temperance, and charity, and godliness, and brotherly kindness. Can't do it if you don't have ears to hear because you can't add to it because you're leaving it outside. Therefore, he said that we have to decide, we have to remember when we get saved, watch, we get all the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit does not necessarily get all of us. Then he goes on to illustrate. In verse 21, he says, a candle lights everyone, and everyone in the room, verse 21. He says, and he said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, under the bed, and not to be set under the candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He says it again. What's he saying? He says, God shows the light. But if you don't want to come to the light, you don't get any light. You've got to have ears to hear. You've got to make some decision. I'm going to hear the word of God when it comes in. If it comes out of the book, I'm for it. And I'm going to understand it, and I'm going to do it as much as I can. There's folks who said, go to the word of God, and they try to read the Bible, and don't get anything out of it. Well, that's because we're too busy trying to decide whether we're going to buy it or not. Whether we're going to go along with it or not. Now, if you don't understand it yet, I'm not expecting you to live on it yet. But the fact is, this, you go to the word of God and say, Lord, you show me what I need to see today, and I'll do it. We know what we say, well, I'm going to read together and see what it likes and see if it makes any sense to me. And if it makes sense or it's not too embarrassing or, you know, it's not too hard, I think I'll do it. You don't have ears to hear yet. You don't have ears to hear. The question is whether everyone will make use of the light that has been given to them. Do you have ears to hear? If we have ears to hear, then there's another process that begins. Number one, I got some questions for you here and some other things. What do you allow to come to your ears? Question number one, what do you allow to come to your ears? Look back at Mark 4, verse 24. Let me go back to verse 23. It says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Light shine, everything. Are you willing to listen to what God has to say? Verse 24. And he said to them, take heed what ye hear. Look at that far. Take heed what ye hear. That word take heed means take a good look at what you're hearing. Funny? Take a good look at what you're hearing. Beware, perceive, regard. Take heed what comes to your ears, what you allow to come into your heart. Take heed. Watch out. Make sure you're careful. What are the sources of the things you're hearing? When I say hearing, I'm not just talking about what's passing through your brain, but what you're allowing to soak into the soil of your heart. What are you really listening to? Do you allow yourself to truly hear what the Word of God is saying? I'm not asking if you come to church. Now, you've got to come to church to hear the Word of God, but coming to church is not what I'm asking. Some folks, even Christians, are somewhat sporadic in their church attendance because they don't always have enough energy to fight off the penetration of the Word of God. Let me say that again. They don't want to come to church because they're going to have to fight what the preacher's saying. And be honest with you, it's too big a fight. Let's not even go there. I know he's going to say something. I know he's going to pull one of those things. You know, our preacher, he's the only guy around here that just seems to knock people off at the knees. I don't mind trying not to knock them off the knees, but try to give you truth. And the problem is the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It gets you coming and going. I'm not here to hurt, but the Word of God does a work. It goes down into the soil. You know what it's doing? It's like a plow. It's getting in there, and it's trying to plow up that hard soil. And sometimes that hurts. God's Word is not a drawl on our system. It should be a source of strength to our system. We need to have ears that are open to God's Word and closed to the wisdom of the world. Now, wise as serpent, harmless as doves. I'm not saying you should never know what's going on out there, but I'd be careful. You know, you need to kind of beware of some things. And that's what he said, take heed what you're hearing. Make sure it's coming from the Word of God. Number two, you get out of the Word of God what you put into it. You get out of the Word of God what you put into it. Look, go back to verse 24. Take heed what ye hear. With what, and colon, says colon there, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, colon, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now there's three statements there, and it sounds like the middle one has nothing to do with anything else that we're doing. But he didn't throw it in there for good measure. He didn't just say he didn't just mix it all up. It wasn't somebody's problem with the transcribers or whatever, and they dropped the line and stuck it in there. No. He says, take heed what ye hear. He's talking about hearing. Now, with what measure ye mete out shall be measured to you. What's that mean? The more you let in the Word of God, the more effect it has on you. That's what it says. It's simply, we don't really think, well, he's just going to bounce it all on me one day. No. Learn the Word of God. And the more you put toward learning the Word of God, you know what? The more you're going to learn. But it's kind of like math. You have to learn how to do 2 plus 2 and 2 times 2 before you can learn how to do 2x and 2y and it equals z. Tell me how that works. No, you know what I'm saying? You don't start with algebra. But the fact is, you go to the Word of God, you learn a bit more of the Word of God. You learn a little bit more of the Word of God. Learn a little bit more of the Word of God. And the more you give your effort, the more God's going to bless that effort if you do it with good soil. You do it with ears to hear. The more you come to church and truly hear the Word of God and allow it to affect your heart, the more God is going to give you. Listen, we got a lot of ladies who come to my wife's Bible class, and they've made a decision of going to read the Bible through every year. Miss Kay's already done it once, haven't you? You're working on the second time through this year, aren't you already? It's not even June. And they're coming in and learning the Word. And sometimes they'll come into class. My wife she gets in all this. She says to come in and say, you know what I found? Look what I found. I found this. Look at this. Isn't this good? Look what I found. You know what that means? With what measure you meet, you shall be measured again. You open your ears to the Word of God and say, there's something in there. I'm not sure I'm going to get anything, any surprise today or not. I don't know, but I know that I'm going to learn. And maybe what I learned, the facts today, is going to make a difference 3 weeks from now when I read this passage and the Holy Spirit brings to the remembrance what I have need of. He's going to bring me back and say, do you remember that part? Oh, I remember that. And you go back there and you search a little bit and you find it again, and there's this little nugget in there that only God's Word would have. The more you read and study the Word of God, the more God is going to give you. If you put little effort into the consumption of God's Word, you will get little of God's Word to consume. If you make the effort to be impacted with the Word of God with an open heart, God will make sure you get the Word of God in your heart. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can sit down my Bible, and sometimes it's really good. Sometimes I can read for 5 minutes. I'm gone. Why is, I don't know, old devil does something, or you start reading the Bible, and then you remember all the things you're supposed to be, you have to get done this week. My wife taught me this. She said, keep a piece of paper, a little pad next to your Bible. And when the devil brings that thing you need to you come up in your mind that you got to do and you're busy reading the Bible, write it down. Let the paper remember it. You don't need to think about it anymore. Just remember you got a paper. That's all you got to remember, one thing, got a paper. And I'll get to the paper when I'm done reading. That means over and over and over again, you'll find this and this and this and this. Okay, well, write it down. So I can get that out of my mind, so I can get this into my mind. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured again to you. Listen, God lets that happen. Why does he let that? Doesn't he want me another Word of God? Yeah, don't you? He doesn't cast his pearls before swine. Well, if you hand it to me on a silver platter, I'll take it. And you don't really want to know it. You desire? Is it the apple of your eye? Do you delight yourself also in the law of the Lord? You know, and in his law doth I meditate day and night. To be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bring forth fruit in his season. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His leaf also shall not wither. I forgot that part. If you make much effort and open your heart to be impacted by the Word of God, God will impact you much with the Word of God. Listen, this is a common sense understanding, but somehow people think that God is just going to dump the Word of God in our hearts, whether we have ears to hear it or not. Doesn't work that way. And that goes for whatever source it's coming from. If our heart is open to God, God will fill it. If our hearts are open to the world will fill it. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Number three. We cannot pick and choose what God says to us and when He says it. We can't pick and choose what God says to us and when He says it. He says, you look back at verse 24. He says, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Unto those that have ears to hear, that give audience to Him, He says, I'll give you more. Now, let me say this. You have to be willing to accept the truth that has been given you if you expect to be given more truth. But I want to know that part now. Well, if God says He's not going to tell you that part now, then He's not going to tell you that part now. But that's the part I want to know. But this is the part you need to know so you can understand this down the road. Or maybe this is going to come up to you. You're going to need this next week. And He knows that. I don't know. But you can't decide when He gives and what He gives. We need to accept the order in which God's Word is given to us. God knows what our hearts need to hear. Our job is to open our hearts to whatever God says to our hearts. Our hearts be open. Lord, just fill me with the seed. Give it to me. Just keep it coming. God often must deal with things that we do not want to hear, like our pride, our selfishness, and lusts, because it convicts us and demands repentance and a change of life action. But God knows what we need first. We cannot skip the necessary life changes and fast forward to the topics we want to hear about, like peace and joy and love and grace. You know, you cannot receive the grace of God for salvation until you receive the fact that we're sinners and we repent. Now that's salvation. But you know, it goes along with everything else that we're doing. We've got to know, I need to know the Word of God. It has to come into my heart. It has to become part of who I am. And if we haven't decided that the Word of God has become part of who we are, it won't become part of who we are. We can't move on. The more we accept in God's order, the more God will give us. Let's say we say that again. Take heed what ye hear. Make sure you know what's coming in. Two, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. And then He says, and unto you that hear, you'll even get more. More shall be given. If we refuse to accept little, God is only going to give us very little. The rate of our spiritual growth has much to do with our spiritual ears and our acceptance of the Word of God. Often when I lead somebody to the Lord, I tell them, now the Lord tells, He says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'll say, that's what I just did. And then it says to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means you need to come to the point where you don't care who knows that you're saved. And everybody, as far as you're concerned, you're glad to tell everybody you were a sinner who needed a Savior. And baptism is the way you would do that. And then it says, to teach to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, the fact is, a lot of folks come to Christ because there's a crisis in their life. And I said, and a lot of times it's crises that they've brought on themselves. I'm not pointing fingers, it's the truth. We all have done that. And it went God to fix it. I said, well, God wants to fix it, but you got to have ears to hear for how the fixing works. And then I'll tell them, the pace of how you grow in the Lord is really your decision. Now, you may say, I want to learn this, not this. Well, God knows we know this. But the fact is, we'll get to that a whole lot quicker if we'll grab a hold of this. If this is what I need right now, then I need to learn this. Settle it. Tomorrow he's got something else where I need to settle that. And the next day I got something else. I need to settle that. And the next day I got something else and I need to settle that. I need to settle this. And forget about what he wants to tell me. I need to just keep settling. And then all of a sudden, you know what? One of these days you're going to wake up and say, oh, I know how that works. I know that. That makes all the sense in the world now. What is the condition of the spiritual soil in your heart? Number four. If you have ears that are willing to hear truth, God will give your ears more truth to hear. I don't think it's simple, but somehow we miss it. If you have, he says, for he that hath, look at verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And what's it talking about? He's talking about he that hath ears to hear shall be given more for his ears to hear. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be fed, satisfied. If you have ears that are willing to hear truth, God will give your ears more truth to hear. Number five. If you do not have ears that want to hear truth, God will allow what you have heard to slip away. Because what? Why? Because we're not taking heed to what we're hearing. See, if we don't go out on purpose to hear the Word of God, the world's going to make sure you're hearing a lot of other things. The old Satan will figure out some way to talk louder. We turn on the radio, we turn on the TV, we've gone on the internet, we've got this going, we've got that going, we're doing this, and we are hearing some of this. It's coming at us, and how much are we allowing to soak in? The fact is, you put all that world stuff in there, and you don't keep feeding. I don't know about your mind, but my mind's like a sieve. You know how kids used to have those little things, and you put all the sand in there, and it comes out, it's full for a second? But if you want to keep that thing full, you got to keep putting it in, 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 because eventually it's all going to come out the bottom. Sometimes I think I sleep too long on one side, my brain rolls out my ear, because all the memories and everything else just kind of dissipates. You got to keep hearing, putting more seed. We had some, when we first came here to the church, the front yard had, just because of funds and other things, when I first came here 13, 14 years ago, the front yard was kind of in disarray, and the fact is, it looked like a forsythia bush. There were so many dandelions across that thing, it was yellow. And I said, well, we got to do something with that. So we got some folks to come in and put the weed killer on there and so forth and so on. And it was really lush there for a while. You know what, last year, actually this spring, you know what we had to do? We had to reseed it. We had to reseed it. Times when the heat and this and other stuff comes along and it beats on it, the droughts we've had, sometimes a little too much fertilizer, the world type of fertilizer, and it gets on there and it makes the ground too acidic, and we had to put a lot of lime on it and so forth and reseed it, because there's some great big spots that need to be reseeded. This is constant care to keep the yard looking good. And it's constant care to keep our hearts watered and living and doing well. Now, he says, verse 25, for he that hath to him shall be given. That's good. And he that hath not what? Ears to hear. From him shall be taken even that which he hath. Watch this. Christian growth can be reversible. Now, we may still know the information, but we don't have ears to hear it, to motivate, to live by it. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. You and I all have heard. The preachers used to always talk about the old moss. We don't have any of these, but old mossback deacons, you know, who've been saved since Noah got off the ark, you know, and they've been doing, making all the decisions and this and that and other thing, and they've forgotten about the Word of God and the reason why we're here. Maybe we were on fire one day. Or are we now? When's the last time you watered the yard? When's the last time you reseeded? You know what they had to do? They did a slice seed out here. You know what that means? They got this thing out here and actually slices spots. And they did, I think they even did some plugs here. And they slice seeded that out there to dig up the soil so that the seed could get back down in there. It was a good yard a few years ago. I know, but we need to do some work on it. Well, I was living for the Lord a few years ago. I know, but things got hard. And we might even need to slice a few things so the seed can get back down in that soil, grab a hold, and grow again. If you no longer have ears to hear, God's going to no longer give you truth to hear. He says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So what if we stop measuring it out? We stop giving effort to it. We're going to stop getting. Now, I know we can live on the momentum. There's a lot of churches who are great churches who lived on the momentum for years, but they stopped sowing the seed. And the new generation, the new soil came up, and it wasn't getting what it needed. And a generation come by before long is just maintaining. And then they're declining. And then they're dead. And then they disappear from the face of the earth. A lot of the people we talk about, great churches back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, even 60s and 70s, great places, do not exist anymore. I mean, they literally do not exist. Well, what happened? They didn't have ears to hear anymore. They're too busy with the programs. Too busy with this and that. Now watch, it's all fine and dandy. But if we're not careful, the ladies' dinner becomes all about the decorations, not about the Word of God. It all becomes about all the things that make you feel warm and fuzzy, but not about the Word of God. A Christian's heart can become thorny and choked out. It can choke the growth that they already have. We have all seen folks who seem to be going well, and then it is as if they no longer want to hear it. They accepted many things and had ears to hear, but then God brought something to their heart and they refused to hear it. And God stopped giving them more because they stopped hearing. Verse 25, let me read again. For he that hath ears to hear, to him shall be given. He that hath not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Number 6. If the word of God is being presented, and you're not seeing any new seed springing up in your heart, it's because your soil is refusing to accept the seed of the word of God. You cannot drain this fountain dry. You cannot drain it dry. So if you're not getting anything out of it, it's not the fountain that's the problem. It's your bucket. You put a lid on it, or you're not lowering it down in the well to get anything. Apparently, we don't have ears to hear. Some folks think that if they push too hard, some folks will say, well, if I push too hard on my children, they're going to be turned off and not receive Christ. Now hang on to this. If we push in an unchristian, unkind way, that may be true. In other words, you can't force them to receive. But watch. Deuteronomy 6 tells us to be constantly using the Word of God to teach the children. It says talk about when you get up. Talk about when you're going down. Talk about when you're walking by the way. Put it on the doorstep. Put them on your hand. Let it be a front and between. I mean, the Word of God is important. But if you're saying, well, we've got to keep the Word of God in front of us. Here we go. I know. I don't like it any more than you do, but here we go. Well, that's not going to work. Because, see, you don't have ears to hear either. Going through the motions doesn't do a thing. But you say, this is the law that brings life. This is why we can have fruit. This is why our leaves don't have to wither. Listen, we hang tight to the Word of God like tree planted by the rivers of water. This is exciting. This is truth. You can have a decent life. You just need to do it God's way. That's if you have ears to hear. If you have ears to hear, your kids are most likely going to have ears to hear. Not just saying, I've got ears to hear because I want everybody around the church to know that I got ears to hear. No, forget about that. Just have ears to hear. Soak it in like a sponge. Now, wait a minute. God says in Deuteronomy 6 that they need to hear it here, there, when you get up, when you get down, on the poster. You know, you say, well, I don't know. Is God wrong? Is that what you're saying? Now God's wrong? He doesn't know what he's talking about? Well, that'll never work. That's what we're saying. I don't want to push my kids. I don't want to be one of these people who runs Scripture. Listen, you ought to be one of those folks that Scripture comes out of your mouth a whole lot quicker than the baseball scores. Or the NASCAR scores. Or just as easy, the stuff that you're doing at work. It should roll off your tongue because it's just part of who you are. Well, some will say, it was a blessing to have been so much in the Word of God. And some will. The difference is whether they have ears to hear. Watch. If your kids, listen, we've all had our issues, you know. I mean, we do talk to Nathan one time. And I've talked to him more than one time, but we were talking one time. And we said something like, well, you've always liked to go to church. I mean, you never had a problem going to church. You always wanted to go to church. He says, no. He's a teenage boy, just like the rest of us. There were some times I didn't want to get him to go to church. But there was no sense in saying anything about it because we were going to go to church. No bothering and even complaining about it because that wasn't going to happen because that's what we do. We go to church. So he had a drug problem. I drug him to church Sunday morning. I drug him to church on Sunday night. Drug him to church on Wednesday night. Drug him to church to the Bible conference. You know what our vacations were? We couldn't afford vacations. It's only been the last few years that we've actually started, Jad and I, that's once the kids grew up. We're out there going on vacation. You know where our vacation was? A week at the Sword of the Lord Conference to hear a bunch of preaching. And yet, we'd leave the Sword Conference and head up the road, and Hannah would say, well, it's only another year till we get to go to Sword Conference again. Listen, don't allow folks to convince you that it's wrong to consistently give your children the Word of God. Don't allow anyone to convince you that it is wrong to take your kids to church as long as it's a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. You ought to take them. We do need to live consistent lives before our children, ourselves, and keep our testimony clean to validate what we're teaching. But those who refuse to hear the Word of God do not have ears to hear. And sorry to say, sometimes that's our kids. You turn them off. You turn them off? How do they get turned off from a free ride to heaven? How do they get turned off to having Jesus with you day by day? Something probably happened. Somebody's testimony is not real clean. Or they'll just be teenagers like the rest of us, and you kind of bow up their back, and they don't have ears to hear. That doesn't mean you stop drugging them to church on Sunday morning and drugging them to church. I can't tell you, preacher after preacher after preacher I've heard said, you know, I grew up in a Christian family. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged to church on Sunday night, and now they're standing up preaching the gospel. Because the Word of God works on that soil. You be consistent, eventually some seed's going to get in. Be a salty and a light-bearing Christian. Give them the Word of God, and that is about all we can do. And it's in on their head. You say, well, I took them to church, I forced them to go to church, and they turned their back on it. That's not your fault. Talked about the Bible all the time, and they turned their back on it. That's not your fault. Unless your testimony was contradicting what you're preaching. Number seven, I know it's time to go home. I said, this is Mother's Day, we should be done. This is the last one. Ready? If you're tired of setting through the presentation of the Word of God without gaining anything from it, determine to have ears to hear. Open your heart's soil. Listen. It's amazing. And I've said this before. The same sun that hardens bricks melts butter. It's not the sun. It's the reception. And that's our choice. I've had people say, boy, that was, you know, you should never preach that message like that. Someone else comes to me and says, man, was that good? I'm going to go back and get on the internet and hear it again. And someone else left the church because of it. And the fact is, you can usually tell. And there's some times when I've laid into it, and Jimmy comes up to me and says, boy, that was a good preacher. That was good. That was good stuff. And you can tell the folks who are hungry to hear the Word of God because they want it to grow in their life. They want it to become part of who they are. And there's others who are sitting there trying to decide whether they're going to receive the Word of God or not. Well, if I like that, I can. See, I already do that, so that's a good message on that one. Yeah, I've done that for years. That's a good thing. Preacher was preaching in a little church, and there's one guy in the church every Sunday morning after the message. He'd walk out and shake the preacher's hand, and he says, boy, that was good. You gave it to him this morning. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Next Sunday, he said, boy, that was good. You gave it to him this morning. A big snowstorm showed up. No one showed up but this one fellow. And he says, this is my turn. So he got up and he preached a message. And I mean, he preached through Genesis all the way to Revelations. I mean, he got all the way to the concordance and the maps, you know. He gave him the whole load. And he said, I hope he understands what's going on here. And he got done. He said, preacher, if they'd been here, you'd given it to them. What you get out of church, as long as we're using this book, is really dependent upon you. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Sweet folks, I appreciate it. They're here. I'm preaching to the choir tonight in some ways. And yet probably all of us could rise up a little higher, give ourselves a little bit more, open our heart soil just a little bit more just to hear the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you speak to us. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts of our people. Love them. Thank you so much. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.